Everyone, Namu Myoho Renge Kyo. As I continue to read and study and lecture on these Nichiren Gosho with you, something continuously comes up over and over again, and it's this idea of time in Buddhism, or at least in the Dharma, in the Buddhist teachings, in the scholarship, and so forth, and I wanted to nail this down once again because you're going to hear, as I dive deeper into this Gosho that we're in now, this long Gosho on the opening of the eyes, and I'm going to do next a Gosho on the Daimoku of the Lotus Sutra. There's a lot of discussion throughout Buddhism, throughout the almost 3,000 years of history in Buddhism, of the next life, the past lives, this life. Ironically, there's a lot more discussion about past and future than there is about the current life. So I want to nail this down once again, and I will in the future, but I'm going to relate this one to myself so that maybe my own experience will be relatable to you about this concept. Buddhism in its entirety is about living this life well. So let's just get that out of the way. Everything about Buddhist teaching is about this current life that you're living, that I'm living, and all of those around us, including the trees, the grass, the animals, and all. But let's not get, I shouldn't let myself get too diverted here. What I want to talk about is time. And I'm going to talk about my dad. So, when we read in, and I will read, Nichiren's quotes of passages from different sutras, there's this constant theme of, in the next life you will become Bodhisattva so-and-so, or the Thus Come One so-and-so, or either the dialogue is about a specific person being addressed as a future life, or the filial piety or other kind of piety, respect toward a person's past lives and how that might have been causal to who they are today. And there's also a dialogue about your parents, for instance, or siblings, and through your practice they can, and this is the filial thing, is that through your own enlightenment, you will change the future lives of your parents. And this can be very, very confusing, especially without a lot of study in Buddhism. As humans, we tend to see everything in a linear way, a very causal way, in that one thing happens and another thing happens as a result of those actions, and we separate them as separate things. Okay, so now that I've said that, I want you to understand, because you hear this repeated all the time, but it may not sink in this way, is that our attachment to thingness is the confusing contributor to misunderstanding what this idea, this relation of time is. So let me say this in a very kind of non-Buddhist way. When I was a young boy, I had certain impressions about what my father was. Like all young boys, whether I was conscious of it or not, my actions, my thoughts were about appeasing my father, pleasing my father, demonstrating my capacities and capabilities to my father. I was looking for, as all humans do, daughter to mother, or just even not parents, just to ourselves. We want to show ourselves that we understand this samsaric experience. We don't see it in those terms, but that's the human life, isn't it? Is that we're constantly trying to understand, to assimilate ourselves into this thing we call our environment, which includes putting dirt in our mouths, or trying to communicate. That's a big one. How do I communicate my needs and wants, primarily, to others so that they can help me get those things satiated, right? How do I get food? How do I get shelter? How do I get protected? Those are very initial concerns of us as humans, right? And so from that comes our attachment, emotional attachments, dependencies on others, primarily mother, father, maybe sister, maybe brother, right? And we abstractly call that family. And so we have these labels like mother, father, sister, brother, right? That have an immediate, intimate, emotional, and sensation connection for our lives. But as humans, we externalize everything because everything's about the thingness of things and the linearity of things. So we call certain things father, certain things. And I'm going to focus on father as an example, but I want to track this through so you understand this concept of past, present, and future. Okay, again, as humans, we think of time as a linear thing. Scientifically, science is a language, remember. So in the language of science, we describe time linearly. Quantum kind of messes with that, and we'll see as I speak here that quantum and what Buddha Buddhism in general teaches is very, very much the same area of thought. It's just completely different languages applied to it. With the caveat that Buddhism goes deeper than science allows itself, because we simply haven't found the scientific language to take apart quantum fields and dark energy, which is dark only because we don't have language to describe it, right? It'll come, maybe, we'll see. Anyway, so my father, our fathers, they represent something to us in childhood that, although as we're older, we think, yeah, we don't think that way anymore, there are still quite a few vestiges, impressions that we hold from that time. We're still attached to those sensations, okay? As we get into our teens, and you may be a teen now, so I'm sure as a teen, or if you remember yourself as a teen, your impressions of father, whether they're broader, better, or worse, or whatever, certainly represent a different set of impressions, emotions, and attachments than whatever you can recall from your pre-9-year-old existence, or between 9 and 12, vastly different. As you enter your teens, very different. Later teens, very different. As a young adult, on your own, away from perhaps family, impressions of father change. They're different, right? All right. Now, I'm going to throw this in now, but I'm going to throw it in again later. Understand that in the rhetoric of Buddhism, those are previous lifetimes. Not your previous lifetime, but your father's previous lifetimes. Aha! That's the biggest clue I can give you. Because your father, his current life, his past life, his future life, his past lives, they all exist within you. It's your impression, your impact, your memory, your adjudication of what father is to you. Now I'm going to pause on that because you need to think about that for a minute. Was your father an actual person? Of course he was. But his experience of what it was to be a father, completely, vastly different than your impression of his being a father. It just can't help but being that, because this is the human condition. This is samsara. And this is what Buddhism is constantly talking around, the way your mind works, the way my mind works. Now, I, without going into specifics, I'll tell you that I was a typical little boy trying to get approval from his father. But as I grew older, I grew to resent him because he set up several traps and he did several things to me that I began questioning and later despising. And very much through my teen years, my codependence of sorts was very mitigated by my lack of respect for him as a man, as a father. And what was I doing? Those were my impressions of him. And they may have been right or wrong. I'm not trying to adjudicate that. I'm just saying that my perception of him was such that I couldn't get myself to even utter the word father. It just seemed completely foreign from this man. Dad, father, whatever. I knew his first name, and since I was a little boy, I called him Hector. And that's what he always was to me, this guy named Hector intruding in my life. It took a very long time and my Buddhist practice to start to disengage that perception of Hector. My sister passed away and other things happened with him. And, you know, everybody has their story of how their family did run as opposed to how they expected it to run. But this is exactly what I'm talking about, is this is my perception of family, what I thought I needed from it, what I thought it failed on, what I thought it may have succeeded on. Not a whole lot. To this day, I still have angst about the terms mother and father. To this day. Although I can tell you, my perception of those individuals as mother and father, vastly, vastly different. And largely through my Buddhist practice. Because in my daily life as a human being, I don't think I would change that perception much. It still lingers. Okay? But as a Buddhist, I understand my father much, much more than I ever did. And as I say that, I'm very aware that all of that understanding isn't about him. It's about my perception of him. Now, he passed away several years ago. And so my perceptions of him are still with me. Now, here's another bomb to drop. That perception I have of Hector, father, that's his future lifetime. He's no longer human. He's left. He's passed away. So his life is done. But his future life lives on. And we hear this in all kinds of rhetoric at funerals and whenever we talk about passing relatives. Father, mother, whatever, but I'm using father right now as an example. We commonly talk about this as he lives on in your heart, right? But in a very, very real and mental experience, which is what Buddhism is about, he lives on. But for him, this living on in my mind is a future lifetime. Now, right away, you must be saying, well, yeah, but there's still a lot of people he knew that know he passed away, that he lives on in their minds. Future lifetimes. This is the rhetoric of Buddhism. It's about your mental experience. My mental experience of Hector, my father, isn't based on his existence as a human now. It's based on my experience of his humanity in my own mind now. For him, a future lifetime. When I think of him as passed away, I'm referring to him in a past lifetime. The lifetime where we coincided and he was the vessel or the impetus or the intimate relationship that I had in order to manifest myself as a human now. I'm still in this one lifetime. I exist in his future lifetime as well as his current lifetime in the past. See that? Past, present, future. So keep this in mind. You may have to, I don't have so much confidence in my own, you know, I do these videos ad lib, so nothing's prepared here. So if my own rhetoric is somewhat confusing and jumping around, I apologize. This is me communicating to you personally. So you may have to backtrack through this video a little bit to get what I'm saying. But to summarize, past, present, and future are perceptions of our mental churnings. Our present is past, present, and future. That's important to note because as I gain clarity through my study and practice of Buddhism, this idea that the Buddha nature, the Buddha mind, has always existed within everything that we experience as humans becomes more profound and more easily understood in those exact terms. And that is that in this life, my human mentality, my human perception, has very much created an obfuscation, a veil of sorts, in my attachments and my busyness around figuring out what this is, that has hidden or gotten in the way of my understanding that everything is already enlightenment, that my very being is enlightenment. But I'm so attached to all these zillions of things that I've grown to recognize and qualify and have opinions upon and be emotionally disturbed by have shaped my thinking about other things. I've been so busy doing that as a human being. This is the samsaric condition that, oh yeah, I forgot. Everything's amazing. Everything's amazing because the idea of right and wrong is based on this fallacy of time being linear and things affecting you and not affecting you are judgments. They're judgments, and we've been given this convenient rhetoric of right, wrong, bad, good, and all of that is just qualifications on whether something should reward, a very human desire, or punish, which in a way is a human desire, paradoxically. And so this is why when I talk about right, wrong, good, bad, what I try to funnel everything into is life-affirming or life-unaffirming. Is this thought, experience, word, attitude, intent meant to affirm the precious nature of this amazing, incredible life? Or does it somehow chip away at that? And again, I don't like the labels of right and wrong, but they're useful in this human experience, right? So that's right and wrong for me, and how I choose to describe it when I'm conscious enough to perceive it without just reacting, right? Because that's human samsara also. So I hope that helps with past, present, future, especially as relates to the Gosho, the Sutra, all of Buddhist teaching, because you're going to see it over and over and over again. It's very easy to get sucked into this idea that there's things like reincarnation and remembering past lives. And listen, if you're thinking of how you were as a teenager or as a young child, you are remembering past lives, because all of it is contained within this life. All of it. Again, a reinforcement of how Buddhism is about this life, not past lives or future lives in physical form, but only in perception and mental form. It's about the here and now. Over and over and over again, you're going to hear that. Maybe with this discussion of past, present, and future, it becomes more congealed that what this moment is this life, the way you're perceiving things right now, today, in this moment, and in the next moment, because 5 minutes from now, you're still going to be doing it. But how will you perceive the way that you're doing it? Ah. Okay, this is a short one. Just wanted to get that out there as I continue with the Go Show, because it is easily confusing as we read through the rhetoric, right? So thank you for listening. Always appreciate you. Appreciate my Patreon supporters. Any of you who can get familiar with my Cocoscope channel at cocoscope.com/TLK, just like patreon.com/TLK. You're my survival. You keep this going. So I really, really appreciate you guys. Namo myoho renge kyo. See you in the next one. Bye-bye.